WILL's Illinois Newsroom. This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Thursday, October 7th. Coming up, some people who received the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine are now eligible for booster shots. We'll get some answers to frequently asked questions from a health administrator in Illinois in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Illinois' violent crime rate is about 7% above the national average, according to new FBI data released last week. As Hannah Meisel reports, Republicans in Springfield are pivoting to hitting Democrats on crime.
GOP members of the Illinois Senate are introducing a package of tough-on-crime legislation unlikely to see movement in a legislature controlled by Democrats. But Republicans are strategizing around making violent crime an issue for Democrats ahead of an election year. Senator Chapin Rose, a former Champaign County prosecutor, highlighted the case of Carrie Pettigrew, who was back behind bars after being paroled in July.
2 months later, he robbed a convenience store, and 10 minutes after that, he robbed a Circle K gas station and shot the clerk. He should have never been walking the streets at all.
Pettigrew served 18 years of a 31-year sentence after his 2003 convictions that included assaulting peace officers. One of the Republicans' proposals would stop prisoners convicted of crimes like Pettigrew's from getting time off their sentences. I'm Hannah Meisel.
Advocates for the homeless say they're working to close a critical gap in services in Champaign County, and they're looking for the public's help. Thomas Bates is with the group Champaign County Continuum of Service Providers to the Homeless. He says the homeless are in dire need of a new emergency shelter. His group is taking ideas about what that shelter should accomplish. Bates says the current shelters no longer meet all the needs in the area.
We really need more services for the most vulnerable people who are already homeless, who have serious mental illness, who have substance use disorders. We need services that are better oriented towards serving that population.
For more information on how to submit a proposal, visit ccrpc.org. Officials at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign say they soon will not let unvaccinated undergraduate students access most online class materials unless they get tested regularly for COVID-19. Vivian Law of the Illinois Public Media Student Newsroom has more.
Junior Steven Pivich says the restrictions are too extreme.
A lot of the stuff we do now is online, you know, so it's like you almost can't even study or do what you're supposed to be doing down here. Like, that's kind of the whole point, you know, to get your schoolwork done.
U of I sophomore Azaria Sutherland says the new rule makes sense because the health of the community is at stake.
Somebody taking away technology is not the same as like affecting your life forever. The people who are upset definitely don't need to be on a college campus or around anybody else, frankly.
The rule will go into effect next Wednesday. School officials say students who continue to break the rules could be dismissed from the university. I'm Vivian Law, Illinois Newsroom.
Public health officials reported 53 new COVID-19 cases in Champaign County yesterday. The number of active cases is down to around 460. Carle Hospital in Urbana, which serves several counties, reported 52 patients with COVID-19 yesterday, down slightly from Tuesday. 10 of those patients are in the ICU. Still to come, answers to some frequently asked questions about COVID-19 vaccine booster shots. That story from Side Effects Public Media is coming up next on 217 Today.
Over the past few years, many of the basic tenets of how and why Americans work have been upended. The usual ladders to security, like education, hard work, lifelong employment, are breaking down. Future of Work, which is a three-part documentary series from PBS, explores the monumental changes in our workplace and the long-term impact new technology might have. Learn how you can stream the entire series as a friend of WILL at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration and Centers for Disease Control and Prevention have authorized COVID-19 booster shots for certain Pfizer vaccine recipients. Side Effects Public Media's Steph Whiteside spoke with Bart Hagston, the administrator of the Health Department in Jackson County, Illinois, to get answers to some frequently asked questions.
Let's start with the basics. Is the Pfizer booster shot only for people who got the Pfizer shot initially?
So what the CDC and the FDA have approved are booster doses for those that have received the Pfizer vaccine as part of their primary series. So if you've received Moderna or Johnson & Johnson previously, booster doses are not authorized yet. The federal authorities continue to look at the data surrounding those vaccines, and I think we'll see booster doses for those in the coming weeks or months. But for right now, it's only Pfizer.
What's the time frame on getting a booster shot?
Right, yeah, it just has to be at least 6 months since your second dose of Pfizer. It could be longer.
Which Pfizer recipients are eligible for the shot?
This is where some of the confusion has set in. CDC has recommended that the following three groups of people should receive a booster dose of Pfizer. Those are people age 65 and older, residents in long-term care settings, and people age 50 to 64 with certain underlying medical conditions. And then in addition to that, CDC has recommended that people in another two categories may receive a booster dose, and those are people age 18 to 49 with underlying medical conditions, or people age 18 to 64 that face increased risk of COVID-19 exposure and transmission because of their occupational setting. So that could include healthcare workers, first responders, congregate care staff, educational staff, food workers, manufacturing, corrections, postal workers, public transit, grocery store workers. So those are all of the categories. So three of them in the should receive a booster category, two in the may receive a booster.
You mentioned underlying medical conditions. Can you talk a little bit more about exactly what that means?
Sure. So people with certain medical conditions are associated with a higher risk of severe COVID-19. And so some of those conditions include cancer, chronic kidney disease, chronic lung disease, including asthma, diabetes, Down syndrome, various heart conditions, various immunocompromised states, liver disease, overweight or obese, pregnant or recently pregnant, sickle cell disease, smoking, including current or former smokers, organ transplant recipients, those that have had a stroke or cerebrovascular disease, or those that have substance use disorders. So it's a pretty extensive list. We'll have a link to that list on our website so people can see what all of those conditions are.
Some people are saying the need for boosters is a sign that the vaccines don't work. Can you talk more about that and why people may need boosters even with a successful vaccine?
You know, the vaccines overall continue to be very effective against severe disease, hospitalization. I think everybody has probably seen the numbers that SIH and other hospital systems are reporting as far as the number of people they have admitted to the hospital and how few of those are vaccinated individuals, and especially those that are in the ICU or on a ventilator, how few of those are vaccinated individuals. That's information that I think really jumps out to people when they see those numbers, and that tells people a lot as to how effective the vaccines are pre-Delta and during Delta.
Pfizer is just one of three vaccines. Should people who got the Moderna or Johnson & Johnson shots expect to get news about boosters soon?
I mean, I think the boosters, I think we might hear more about boosters for Moderna within the next several weeks. Johnson & Johnson might be a little longer, but Johnson & Johnson didn't hit the market as early as Pfizer or Moderna. So everything takes time. It's all based upon FDA and CDC reviewing the data available and looking at how long until the benefits of the vaccine last before they begin to wane. And even though the data might show that the benefits start to wane, it's not an immediate drop-off of that protection. You know, they slowly lose effectiveness over time, and that's why a booster might be needed. But again, you still have that protection of the original series you received.
Finally, the most important question. If someone is eligible for a booster shot, how do they go about getting it?
So if someone is eligible for a Pfizer booster, they can seek that out at many locations throughout the community, including pharmacies and other medical providers, and at Jackson County Health Department and other local health departments.
That's Bart Hagston with the Jackson County Health Department. He spoke with SideFX Public Media's Steph Whiteside. And finally, in your forecast, Meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says mostly cloudy skies today with occasional showers and a high of 75 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Farrah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Hannah Meisel, Justin Malone, Vivian Law, and Steph Whiteside. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.